my church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And these two were both the sons of a priest, but not just your typical priest. This man was not merely someone who was a parish priest and had a congregation of his own. He was, if you will, the priest for the priests. Aside from having an MDiv and studying theology, he'd also gotten a PhD in psychology. And this man was responsible in the Diocese of Louisiana for the ministerial counseling and needs of the clergy. If you will, he was the father of fathers. So you would expect someone with this much capabilities of looking and helping adults who help others in their lives would make an excellent dad. Now, these two sons could not have been on the surface more different. One was something of a contractor and had a large, successful business. And he was the sort of man that gave freely from his heart. He was really kind of limitlessly generous. He was a man who helped to build the church we built in Baton Rouge and did a lot of it pro bono, free. He just simply did it for the cost of the materials. And he was doing this as a way of giving back to God. When I first met him in 2011, it was still coming out of the economic depression, especially the building trade in Baton Rouge. And when I first met this guy, he was building retaining walls. He used to build subdivisions and did later on start doing these huge spec houses. But he was always giving back to God. And he did such a good job as a father himself that part of the reason that Deborah and I chose to go to this church was because one of his daughters was so godly that we wanted our own daughter to have that kind of exposure. Now, his brother on the surface could not have been more different. He didn't really have a job, per se. He was an artist. He owned and lived in a cotton gin in the middle of the bayou somewhere in a swamp. And he was a sort of artist that would find a tree stump and would imagine some piece of art, and he would take out his chainsaw and start carving it, that kind of an artist. He was kind of a random guy. If you ever saw him, he was wild-haired and a little squirrely. But just like his brother, he had a heart of gold. And in his own little world in which he ran, there wasn't anybody that he wouldn't take care of. And with what little means he had, would try and make their lives better. What kind of dad made these two children? Well, Tim, the artist's son, used to like to tell it like this. Whenever he did something wrong, like pulled the pigtails on Betty Sue or something like that, his dad, instead of spanking him, would take him home and sit him down. You can imagine both a priest and a psychologist what this looked like. So, son, what were you thinking when you did this? Where was your motivation? You know, why did you do this? You know, do you know what that made Betty Sue feel like? Do you think that might have embarrassed her? Do you think maybe you humiliated her? You know, he probably said, because I say it to my own children, you know, if the person that treats you harshly, they may actually like you. You know, they may have a crush on you or something. Sefton, yeah, look at him. He's shaking his head. No. But, you know, he would sit there and try and walk them back from just the thing they did. Because he thought that, you know, the pulling of the pigtail was just a symptom. There was something deeper inside these kids. And he would say to them, you know, he would try and walk them back to what their real motives was. What was the cause? You know, instead of just treating the sniffle, which was pulling the pigtails, he tried to walk back and find out the virus inside of them and make them think about that. What was it that made Tim be mean to this little girl? And Tim would always end with this story saying, and you know, all I wanted my dad to do was just give me a spanking so I could go back out and play. I didn't want an hour and a half lesson. I would sit there and squirm and just think, just hit me and let me go. In the Old Testament, that's what God did. God looked at Israel and waited until they started doing something really bad, and then he gave them a spanking. It usually looked like the Babylonians coming into town and burning Jerusalem to the ground. But then they would feel chastised and they'd get it because they were infants. They needed a good spanking so they'd know they're not supposed to do that thing anymore. And then they'd go off and play, and they'd go do it again. They get under spanking. On the surface, it looks like what Jesus is doing to us is he's casting a much wider net for us. He's opening up this realm of what a sin is It's not enough simply to not commit adultery or commit murder. I mean, I can handle that. But I'm supposed to not be angry. I'm not supposed to have a wandering eye or a wandering mind. You know, I'm not supposed to let lust happen in here, much less in my real actions. And at first it may sound like God is putting up to us a bar we can't hope to reach. Can I really control my mind like that? What Jesus does is a little bit like what Tim and Chip's father did. What Jesus is saying is, don't go at the end of this journey, which looks like adultery, which looks like murder. Let's back it up and find out where it all began inside of you. And Jesus would say it begins with a wandering eye. It begins with anger. We started looking at this first step down the road to some form of adultery and lust, some form of murder. And he says to us, why don't you stop it there? Why not look at just getting angry at your neighbor and say, I can control that. That's a small step for me. Let me just take it easy, control my temper, not begin this relationship with an anger that can lead to rage, that could lead to a violent act. Why don't I look at the things, the people, or the possessions in the world that I look at and I want? Why don't I control them at the very beginning when I begin to think about them and desire them before I get to a place where they become idolatrous to me? What Jesus is doing is telling us how we can fix the cause and not just the symptom of sin. Catch it in our first steps into the sin. Rather, all the way to the point which you reach some critical mass and control becomes something we can't do. He's actually helping us to make the world a little better for us by doing it before it becomes something we can't stop. If this sounds so idyllic, look at how the rage in some of us in our lives get to the point that we can't control it because we get to a fight. We look at our neighbors and we think that there's something so wrong with them that we can't begin to reconcile. Why not reconcile early on when it's just the beginnings of the temper being raised? We begin to see them as something other than our brothers and sisters, but as someone that we've got a grievance against. What Jesus wants us to do is to not just make the law our judge. He wants us to make ourselves our judges and our neighbors our judges. Help us to know when it's time for us to feel like we're stepping out of line long before it gets to the point where we do something that's in the Ten Commandments. What happens to us then is not only do we become better in our own actions, but we might begin to ask what we're doing to provoke others to that first step towards a sin towards us. We become responsible for our neighbors early on in this thing. Not just like the Pharisees who waited until there was an actual sin committed and said, look what you've done, I never do that. They look at somebody and say, how could I have done something for them earlier when they were on the road towards an action that God would condemn? The challenge for us is to realize that this track puts a lot of responsibility on us, but it's far more attainable. We can decide early on where we're going to behave. You know, I look back and I think with my own kids, they probably get tired of me with my hour and a half conversations and lectures instead of just a good slap on the butt. You know, you don't go out there and do what you were doing now. I get it, Dad, I know. But what I want to try and do with them and with all of us, myself included, is to see if I can begin thinking early on. Begin asking the questions, what is it that I'm doing when I just start this? Then maybe I can keep my eye and I can keep my right hand because I started a little earlier the question.